Shmuel Beis, Perek Beis. Right now, David is in the city Tziklag. He's in Plishti territory. Shaul was killed in the battle with the Plishtim, Shaul and his sons. David received the report, and we just learned of the mournful dirge, the eulogy, and the mourning that David held over the death of Shaul. Vayhi achrei chein, and it was afterwards. Rashi mentions in Chumash that the word achar implies it's immediately after. Acharei means it's afterwards, but not immediately following. It seems that it wasn't as soon as Shaul died that immediately David asked this question. But achrichein, a little bit, a while later, Vayishal David b'Hashem lemor. David asked Hashem, saying, Ha'ele ba'achas ori Yehuda. Should I go up in one of the cities of Yehuda? Or as I'm right now here in the Plishti territory, should I go up to Eretz Yisrael? Vayomer Hashem elov alei. And Hashem told him, go up to Eretz Yisrael. We'll see that when he comes to Eretz Yisrael, he's made king. The people recognize him and accept him as king. But that wasn't David's concern at this point. David wasn't rushing to become a king. His question was, can he go up to Eretz Yisrael? Should he go up to Eretz Yisrael? First of all, David, we learned before, David felt that having to live in Chutz La'aretz, he said, you drove me out of living in the Nachla, the inheritance of Hashem, and you told me worship Avodah Zarah. That if somebody leaves Eretz Yisrael, where you feel the Hashkacha, you feel Hashem's presence much more. Leaving Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz is like being driven away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being told worship Avodah Zarah. David wanted to go back to Eretz Yisrael. The truth is, there's another point here that probably concerned David. David is again in Tziklag, which is the Plishti territory. Achish, the king, is returning back from defeating Shaul. And we all know that Shaul was against David. That was the conflict, and that's why initially Achish accepted David, because he figured David is against the Jewish monarchy, and against the government. Can you imagine if David would be saying in Tziklag and all of a sudden the news would spread that he was appointed king over Klal Yisrael? Now, Shaul was killed. It was a known that many people know. It was a question, did everyone know? Did some people know? But the word was out that Shmuel had anointed David to be king. If David would be accepted as king and David was together in Plishti territory, his life could be in danger. Who knows what would happen? So David asked, should I go up Achas Ori Yehuda to one of the cities of Yehuda? And Hashem said you should go up. The Mefarshim learned different lessons from here. First of all, the Gemara has a concept. It says at the end of Brachos. It's always a question of knowing when do you apply it, and you know how to apply it in life. But the Gemara says somebody who's nidcha mipnei hashoh, somebody who lets himself sort of get pushed away, even though it's his time, Hashem medeslo, he will be successful and his time will arrive. In fact, the Gemara mentions at the end of Brachos, there were two Amoraim, Rabba and Rav Yosef, who were fit to become the leaders of Klal Yisrael, to become the Rosh Yeshiva. Rabba excelled, he was a Oker Horim. He was known for his brilliance. He would like uproot mountains and grind them together with his logic. And Rav Yosef was known as a Sinai, meaning he knew everything. He was his bakiyas, his broad range of knowledge was all encompassing. And of course, when the Gemara says such a thing, we understand. Of course, Rabba had a tremendous knowledge over everything, and Rav Yosef's tremendous understanding. He also had a tremendous comprehension and a tremendous level of learning the iyun. But the way they excelled in their derech halimud was Rabba was more of the oker harim, more of the analytical, And Rav Yosef was more with a broad range of knowledge. And the Gemara discussed which one should become the leader of Klal Yisrael. And it said Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was the decision. That's Sinai v'Oker Harim. It's more important to have the one with a broad range of knowledge. But Rav Yosef refused because the stargazers had told him that when he became the leader, he would only live after that for another 2 years. So Rabbah became the king, became the leader, and he was the leader for over 20 years, the Gemara says. And after that, Rav Yosef became the leader, and he was only lived a short time after that. But the Gemara mentions that concept that he was chosen as the leader, it was his, but he was nidchem mipnei Asher. He didn't push his time, and Shaul Medeslo, and eventually he got to his greatness. Over here, David knew that he was going to be king. He was anointed by Shmuel. There was really no question that Shmuel should have got, David should have gone to Eretz Yisrael and become the melech. But you see this idea that he wasn't in a rush. Vayhi achrei chein, it wasn't immediately afterwards, but after a short delay. And David inquired, should he go up to Eretz Yisrael? He wasn't in a rush to get the malchus. Eventually it'll come to him. The Malbim and others point out thinking deeply into it, it's really, the question almost seems superfluous to us. When David was anointed king, he didn't do anything to take it away from Shaul. In fact, he was always subservient. As long as Shaul was alive, David was his servant, and David did whatever he could to appease and to find favor by Shaul. When Shaul's life was in his hands, two times he had the opportunity, he could have killed Shaul, and he didn't do that. And we just had now, when he heard that this Ben Ishger Amaleki, when a man came and reported that he killed Shaul, David had that person killed. He said, how could you go ahead and kill Shaul? And he mourned, and they fasted, and they cried, and he said that kina that we just learned. But now is the time that he should be the king. It was clear. In other words, if not now, when? In other words, Shaul was killed, and that's it. But even so, David didn't want to rely on his own Eitzan and his own Seichel and his own understanding. And other Mephorshim focus on the fact that everything that David did, he did al pi Hashem. In other words, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should I go up? Even though the question would seem to us obvious. Of course he should go up. But David asked. Especially understanding the reason he was in Siklag is he ran away from Shaul. If Shaul's not there, so there's no reason not to go up. And he had already made many friends and alliances in Klal Yisrael. We learned after defeating Siklag, he acquired a tremendous wealth. Now, it was all the wealth that the Amalekim had destroyed the city Siklag when David and his men were away. And the Amaleki had a lot of wealth. When David caught up with them and defeated them, we learned that he acquired all that wealth. And he sent presents to all of the cities around. This is in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed. He sent the presents all over, and he told them, Hinei lechem brocha mishlal oyvei Hashem, here's a present from the booty of Hashem's enemies. And the people loved David to begin with. They in the times of Shaul already, they were saying, Hika David, Shaul Balofov, David Brivavosov. The David was the one who led the army. So really, David knew that he would get a warm reception. He would have assumed it'd be basis that he should go back to Eretz Yisrael now. And even so, he asked. Vayomer David. So David said, Ona Ella, where should I go up? No, I should go to Eretz Yisrael. Where should I go in Eretz Yisrael? Vayomer Chevrona. And Hashem answered him and said he should go to Chevron. Chevron was the city, Chazal say, that Adam HaRishon would have lived 1,000 years. Ki elef shonim beinecha, ki yom esmol, ki yavor, 1,000 years is like a day to Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the day you eat from the Eitz HaDa'as, you'll die. That's what Adam was told. Right? On that day, that'll be the end of his life. So Adam HaRishon had 1,000 years. And Chazal say he gave 70 years to David. So that's why, if you look in Bereishis, Adam lived for 930 years, and David had 70. Now that David is reaching the peak of his life, he's going to be the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him go up to Hebron. Hebron, Adam Rishon gave David those 70 years, he should go to Hebron. In fact, the Zohar says that there was a connection that David was in the Zchus Avos, even though we're all come from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but David reached a certain Shlemus that the Zchus Avos is what enabled David to receive the Malchus. So it's thanks to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So he went up to Hebron. And the Ralbag, occasionally the Ralbag sums up all of the lessons and benefits that we can derive from what has been learned. It's printed at the end of Perek Chof Aleph. And Shmuel Beis, at the end of Perek Chof Aleph, he lists all of the lessons that are many lessons that he learns from the previous Prokim. Anyways, over there the Ralbag mentions the idea that even though it's clear to us that David is going to become the king, but you see, even with that, a person shouldn't rely on Nisim, and a person should do what appears to be the Seichel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers things to work in the normal manner, that everything should work out as it's intended. David is to become king. So Hashem said, go to Hebron, because we'll see in Hebron, David will be accepted. Hebron is actually from Shevet Yehuda. And so it's from David HaMelech's tribe. And we'll see, in Hebron they accepted him as king. So even so, it was a question, where should he go? And the answer was Hebron. It's not just go anywhere in Eretz Yisrael and don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that things work out. But everything is planned that it should work as much as possible without necessitating special nisim and niflos. So Hashem told him to go up to Hebron. Vayal Shom David. David went up to there. Vagam Shtei Noshev, and also his two wives. Achinoam HaYisraelis, Vavigayel Eshes Novel HaKarmeli. Achinoam and Avigayel. And the Ralbag points out that, you see from there, that it makes a point of mentioning that he went with his wives. Because it's not good for the man to leave his home and to go on his career by himself. To leave his family behind. It's not good for the husband, and it's not good for the wife to be alone. It's not good for the children. And that's the lesson we learn from here. I could be the Ralbag. I don't know if it's the lessons from the fact that David went with his two wives. I imagine he wouldn't have left them behind in Siklag. I mean, I assume the obvious thing is to travel together with his wives. I think what the Ralbag's point is, why did the Novi have to say it? It would be obvious that if David and his men went to Hebron, so everyone went. I assume he's not leaving his wives behind. But the Novi stressed, you should know that David went up to Hebron and also his two wives, Achinoam and Avigail. The Novi wants to make sure you notice that, and it's obvious, but take that note. There's a lesson, something to be learned from there. That a person should go, preferably the family should travel together, and that's the ideal way. Va'anoshav asher imo, his men that were with him, hello David ishu beso. David brought up every man with his family, va'yeshvu ba'arei Hebron, and they settled in the cities of Hebron. These were the men who went with David when he was fleeing from Shaul. They wandered here, and they were in danger there, and they were escaping to all different places in the desert. Now that things were settled, he could have said, okay, everyone can go back to his own home, go back to his territory, and that's it. But David brought them brought these men with him. Hello, David, he brought them up, and they settled in the cities of Hebron. Again, that was special chesed that David did with them, that since they accompanied him through the difficult times, now that David is going to become king, he brings them up with him. At the same time, we'll see, David didn't go... They settled in the cities of Hebron, meaning the cities around Hebron. Hebron was the major city, and there were villages and cities around it. He kept them in the cities around Hebron, Ba'arei Hebron. It could be David realized that they were not fit to serve on his cabinet, they weren't fit to be the leaders of the people. He did a chesed and he brought them, that they were in his proximity, and he made sure that they were settled. But to be his close confidants and to be those that he dealt with as king, they weren't fit for that role. And we'll see later on in Perek Tezvov, later on when David was fleeing from Avshalom, it said over there in Pasuk Yudches, he left Yerushalayim, David left Yerushalayim because his son Avshalom took over the throne. And it says, V'chol ha-gitim sheish meos ish. All of the gitim, there were 600 men, ashebo v'raglo migaz, who traveled with him from Gaz. They all passed in front of the king. So you see, these 600 men that he brought with Gaz obviously were there for many years, and they were with David. But they were Ba'ari Chevron, they don't play a prominent role, and they settled in the cities of Chevron. Another lesson to be learned is those people that knew David before he was king would not be able to respect him and honor him and treat him like the king. The Rabag also makes that lesson. These are the same people that a parak or two before, when we learned that Siklag, they went to Siklag and they saw the Amaleki destroyed the city. So the people were ready to stone David. And this was David's idea that they should go and leave their families behind. And David mentioned over there that Ki Amru Ha'om L'Sukalo in Perek Lamed, Shmuel Aleph. The people said to stone David. Ki Mara Nefesh Kala'am, the soul of all the people was bitter about their family. And David was like all alone, and he was mischazik with Hashem. But the people who knew David as a fugitive and were ready to stone him, now that David is the king, those aren't the people who should be close with him. And we'll see there were people like Yoav ben Tzruya, we're going to get to later, who were tremendous Chachme Yisrael. But there were people who knew David from before, and the way they related to David, indeed, they did their own thing, and they didn't feel like a Moira Malchus. So David realized that, and with the group of the men, there were a few of them that did stay with David, but the group of them, Vayeshvu v'Ari Chevron, they settled in the cities of Chevron, not right near David. David would not be able to be a powerful monarch having these people who knew him from previously. David didn't go right into the city. It wasn't like this was an invasion. David could have came in with 600 men, and there's no king at the moment. Shaul was killed, and all of a sudden he comes in to take over. No, the people, he stayed in the Ore Chevron, and David went in. Vayavo Anshe Yehuda. The men of Yehuda came. Vayimshechu Shomets David L'melech al Beis Yehuda. And they anointed David over there to be a king over Beis Yehuda. The Rambam says in Hilchas Malachim, to become a king, one has to be anointed by a Navi, and he has to be appointed by the people. The people have to want him. Shmuel had already anointed David to be king, but that had not been a public ceremony. It hadn't been a public affair. And we discussed previously where many times the question was, did people know that he was anointed as king, or did they not? Lo yotza tivacha ba'olam. There were those who said David was not known in the world as being king. Over here, the Anshe Yehuda came and they anointed David as a king. But it's noticeable. He's a king al Beis Yehuda, over the house of Yehuda. Meaning he was not appointed king over all of Klal Yisrael. Shaul was the king over all of Klal Yisrael. And here, David is clearly appointed, you will be king over our Shevet. The truth is, Chazal learned out from Gur Aryeh Yehuda, that Yehuda is like a lion, but Gur is more like a lion cub, a young one. That David's beginning would be like a young lion. He didn't immediately become the king over everything. It began in a very small stage. He was the king over Beis Yehuda. And that went on, we'll see, for a few years. And then eventually became the king over all of Klal Yisrael. I don't know if they were aware of that Jerusha. It could be some of Farshim say, maybe they sent messengers to all of Klal Yisrael, and they said, David is coming here. David came to Chevron, let's make him king. And could be nobody else was interested. We'll see in a moment, Vayagidu leDavid Lamar. They told David, saying, Anshe Yovesh Gilad, the people of Yovesh Gilad, Asher Kavru Esho, they buried Shaul. We learned before the Plishtim had taken Shaul and his sons and hung up the bodies on the wall as a public disgrace. And the people of Yavesh Gilad, at a risk to their own life, went and brought the bodies back. It shouldn't be the cherpa, mamash, a disgrace to Klal Yisrael, that here the king is like hanging in public display, hefker. They went ahead and they brought back Shaul. But it can be assumed the people in Yavesh Gilad possibly wouldn't want David to be the king. They felt such a closeness to Shaul, they risked their life for Shaul. And it's all in the same pasuk. Perhaps they anointed David as the king on Beis Yehuda because the rest of Klal Yisrael didn't want him. Or maybe they didn't even bother sending messages to the rest of Klal Yisrael because they figured they knew that Shaul still had supporters. But whatever the cheshbon was, David became the king over just Beis Yehuda. And at this point that he's appointed king, he's told the men of Yavesh Gilad buried Shaul. It must have seemed strange to the people in those days. Whoever heard of a king on Klal Yisrael and he's only king over part of a Shevet? And we'll see this is a difficulty. David HaMelech did not have a smooth malchus even once he became king. Or it's his son Avshalom rebelled against him and the people were with Avshalom against David. And we'll see later on there was a revolt of Sheva ben Bichri. But here it began. From the very beginning, David was not the king over all of Klal Yisrael. Vayishlach David Malachim. David sent messengers, al anshei of Yavesh Gilad, to the men of Yavesh Gilad. And the Mefarshim point out that very commonly, when a new king would arise, even have a Nach a number of times, a new king would arise and he would wipe out the whole family of the previous king to show clearly that he's the new king and anybody connected with the old regime was killed. Here David is told, as soon as he becomes king, that the men of Yavesh Gilad obviously risked themselves for Shaul. Let's see David's response. By Yom Ra'alayim, David sent messengers to them, and he said to them, Bruchim Atem Lashem, you should know you are blessed to Hashem, Asher Asisem HaChesed Hazeh, that you did this kindness, Im Adonechem, with your master, Im Shaul, with Shaul. No matter who it is, if it's your master, Im Adonechem, if it's your king, they're mechuyiv to be noheg, that type of respect and that type of honor to their master. Im Shaul. And even if he wouldn't be their master, somebody on the level of Shaul, who we'll see is a baskal, a voice came out proclaiming he's the Bechir Hashem. He was the chosen one of Hashem. The chesed you did with your master, and the chesed you did with Shaul, v'atik b'ruoso, and you buried him. You're blessed to Hashem. V'ato, now yas Hashem imochem chesed ve'emes. Hashem should do with you, will do with you, kindness and truth. Or as you did a chesed with Shaul, Hashem will do chesed with you. And emes is the fact that it's a truth and it happens and we see the fulfillment of that. Or as Hashem will do a chesed and you'll see the benefit of that. The emes will come true and you'll experience it. That's what Hashem will do for you. It was a tremendous mitzvah that they did. V'gam anochi ese itchem hatova hazos. And also I will do with you this toiva, this favor, asher asisam hadover hazeh, that you did this matter. And the Mefarshim learn that I'll do with you this toiva means the people of Yavesh Gilad had a special hakaras hatov to Shaul. When Shaul first began as the king, his first challenge from the enemy was a king, Nochash Ho'amoni, Nochash from the nation Ammon, came and he threatened the people of Yavesh Gilad that they'll have to blind their right eye. Otherwise, in order to show that they are slaves to him, that they're subservient to him, and they requested 3 days, and they requested 7 days to see how they would react. Anyway, Shaul came to their defense. Shaul came to their defense, and therefore they had this Hakaras HaTov to Shaul. And now, after Shaul was killed, they came to take down his body. David said, I will do with you hatoiv hazos, this toiva, asher asisim hadover hazeh, that the favor that Shaul did for you, and therefore that is what asher asisim hadover hazeh, that's what brought you to do this matter and save Shaul's body. You had akoras hatoiv for what Shaul did for you. I'll do the same type of thing for you. I'll treat you as Shaul treated you. V'atza now techazakna yedeichem. You should strengthen your hands. V'hiyuli v'nei chayil and be courageous. K'meis adoneichem Shaul, because your master Shaul died. And we learned before, when Shaul died, the people in the cities around there, in Perek Lamed Aleph, they all abandoned their cities and they fled. Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Zayin, it said, Vayazvu es ha'arim vayanusu. They abandoned the cities and they ran away. And the plishtim came and settled there. David said to them, Shaul died, but don't be like the others who ran away. You should be mischazek, techazakna yedechem, strengthen your hands. V'yuli v'nei chayil, and be courageous. K'meis adoneichem Shaul, because your master Shaul died. V'gam osi moshchu veis Yehuda l'melech aleihem. And also me, the house of Yehuda, has anointed to be a king over them. Or as I'm going to be the king, and I'm going to use my power as king to protect you and to help you. The same way Shaul came to your defense, I as king will come to your defense. It's also a hint that Beis Yehuda accepted David as king. They should do likewise. See, now the people of Yovish Gilad were from Shevet Binyamin, and he's telling them, I'll be on your side and I'll help you, and I've already been appointed king by Beis Yehuda. Avner ben Ner, Sar Tzova Asher L'Shol, he was a general, he was the general of Shol's army. Lokach es Ishbosheth ben Shol, he took Ishbosheth, who was the son of Shol, Vayavireu Machanoyim, and he brought him over to a place, Machanoyim. And we'll see, he made Ishbosheth the king. Avner, Rashi says, Lokach es Ishbosheth. He took Ishbosheth. Avner was one of the great Chachamim, and he darshened a pasuk. It says, Yaakov Avinu got a bracha when he was coming back from Lavan, from Padan Aram. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yaakov Avinu, and he told him, Goyu kahal goyim yimimekah. There's still going to be a nation, and a kahal goyim, a group of nations, that are going to come from you. Umelochim mechalotzecha yetzeyu. And kings will come out from you. Now, 11 of the Shvatim had already been born. The only one who hadn't been born yet was Binyamin. So Chazal are now goy, there'll be a nation that will come out from Yaakov. It was a nevuah that he'll still have another son. He'll have Binyamin. That'll be the goy. The kahal goyim, the group of nations, means that Yosef will split up into two shvatim, Ephraim and Manasseh. There'll be two additional, two shvatim instead of just Yosef. That's the kahal goyim. But umelochim mechalotzecha yetzeyu. Kings will come out from you, meaning somebody has not yet been born, and from him there'll be kings. Avner understood that means there will be kings from Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin was the only one not born, and there will be kings coming from him. There will be kings from Binyamin. So he had the first one. That was Shaul. Shaul was king. Was killed. So now Avner took Ishbosheth, and he brought him over to Machanoyim, Vayamlicheyu, and we'll see, he made him the king over all the different areas. Because he had a drosha that Ishbosheth deserved to be king. There has to be at least two kings from Shevet Binyamin. Avner, we had before, when David encountered Shaul and he could have killed Shaul, he called out to Avner in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chav Vav, Pasuk Tes Vav. He said, "Mi kamoicha be Yisrael? Who is like you in Yisrael? In the Jewish people, who's like you, Avner? And here you left the king unprotected." When he said, "Mi kamoicha be Yisrael," David HaMelech didn't just mean that Avner was the general. He was the supreme commander of Shaul's army. He meant that Avner meant that David meant that Avner was obviously on a great level in Ruchnias and in all aspects. He was almost unparalleled. Umi kamocha be Yisrael. There was no one on the level, in a certain way, of Avner. Avner, in a certain way, excelled, that there was no one like him. And we'll see. Avner was convinced, and even though he made Ishbosheth the king, we'll see shortly, he was the real power behind the throne. Or as Avner was the one who made Ishbosheth the king, and later on he left Ishbosheth. But Avner was the power behind the throne. In Divrei HaYomim, we've mentioned a lot of the stories, especially in Shmuel Beis, are learned in depth in Divrei HaYomim, and there's always the comparison, the way it's reported here and the way it says it in Divrei HaYomim. But in Divrei HaYomim Aleph, in Chronicles, in Divrei HaYomim Aleph, in Perek Ches, it mentions the son of Shaul. And over there he's called Esh Baal. Now, the word Esh Baal would seem to be, Esh is like Ish, like the man, and Baal is the one who's the boss, or Baal Abayis, the one who owns the house, or Baal is the husband. Ish Baal is a term of chashivas, of importance. Over there it mentions Shaul had a son, Yehonasan, we learned that was killed. Yehonasan had a son. Over there he's called Miriv Baal, the one who fought. Also Miriv Baal. Over here he's called Mephibosheth. And the Mephorshim noticed that after Shaul's Malchus ended in failure, or Shaul was killed. And Shaul was told by Shmuel that he made mistakes and he's going to lose the Malchus. His son Esh Baal, took the title Ishbosheth, which literally means a man of embarrassment. Even though he's becoming the king, he didn't say, well, he's the king and, you know, this is a beautiful, great day of success for Klal Yisrael. But he remained for the rest of his life with the title Ishbosheth. And Yehonah's son, who was Shaul's son, had a son that also switched his name. Instead of being known as Miriv Baal, was called Mephibosheth. Like, from my mouth, Bosheth is embarrassment. And we'll see later on in Perek Chof Aleph, much later on, it mentions Shaul had a wife, Ritzpah, and she had a child also that was called Mephibosheth, who ended up being killed. And with a whole incident with the Givonim, which we'll get to much later on. But this Ishbosheth obviously took on that name, the man of embarrassment, because of the embarrassment of Klal Yisrael, the embarrassment that Shaul lost the Malchus and was killed. But Avner ben Ner took Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, v'yavireu Machanoim, and he brought him to Machanoim. Machanoim must have been a fortified city. It was in Nachlas Gad. It was in the area of Gad, which was on the other side of the Yarden, the other side of the Jordan. And we'll see later on, when David fled from Avshalom, his son Avshalom took over as king, and David was fleeing, he went to the same place, Machanoim. I saw a sefer that discusses how there are names in Tanakh that are prophetically given about an incident that's going to happen much later on in history. And he says the name Machanoim was, Avshalom took over the Malchus, and David fled to Machanoim, and at that point Avshalom was coming after David. There were two different camps in that place. There was Avshalom, and there was David. And the Torah mentions Machanoim, Yaakov Avinu, when he was coming back to Eretz Yisrael, he met the Malachim, and says Vayikra Shem HaMokom Ahu Machanoim, because there were two camps of angels. There were angels accompanying him in Chutz Laretz and a different group in Eretz Yisrael. But you see this idea that in this place there were the two different camps. But Ishbosheth took Ishbosheth and he brought him to Machanoim. Vayamlicheu El HaGilod, he made him the king over Gilod. Vel Ashuri vel Yisrael. And so the Ashuri, the Targum seems to learn that's Beis Asher, the area, the tribe of Asher. And to Yisrael, which was land of Menasheh. It was in Menasheh's territory. This is Pashut, the land area. There's a place called Gilad and a place, Ashuri is where Ashur lived, but it's going on the territory. And Yisrael, which is where Menashe lived, he was the king to these places. Va'al Ephraim, Va'al Binyamin, and on Ephraim, meaning the Shevet Ephraim, and over Binyamin, Va'al Yisrael Kulo, and over all of Klal Yisrael. It seems to be it was not obvious, that it was not immediate. Shaul was killed, and possibly David would have been able to take the throne over all of Klal Yisrael. Obviously, I'm saying B'derech HaTeva, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Malchus to work out like this. But it seems David probably, you know, the political analysis would have said if David would have come in at the right moment, he probably could have taken the throne over all of Klal Yisrael. But instead, David stayed in Hebron, and he didn't, and Avner made a campaign. First, he took him to Gilad and to Ashur and Yisrael and Ephraim and Binyamin, and then all Yisrael Kulo. And eventually, he consolidated all of Klal Yisrael under the rule of Ishbosheth. Later on in Tehillim, in Kapitel Kuf Ches, David HaMelech says, "Li Gilad, v'li Menashe. To me is Gilad, and to me is Menashe, which Yisrael was in Menashe. V'Ephraim Oz Roshi. Ephraim's like the strength of my head. Yehuda Mechokiki. And Yehuda is the judge, the lawgiver. But these places that right now, under Ishbosheth, David would later on all come under the rule of David. Ben Arboim Shana Ishbosheth ben Shaul. Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, was 40 years old. B'molcho al Yisrael, when he ruled over Klal Yisrael. Ushtaim Shani Moloch, and he only ruled for 2 years. Ach Beis Yehuda Hayu Achrei David. Just the house of Yehuda went after David. Everyone else was with Ishbosheth, and David just had Shevet Yehuda. Vayim Mispar Hayomim. The number of days Asher Hayu David Melech B'Chevron, that David was the king in Chevron, al Beis Yehuda on Beis Yehuda, was Sheva Shanim V'Shisha Chadashim, 7 years and 6 months. And we'll see, after these 7 years and 6 months, David is accepted as king over all of Klal Yisrael. And we'll see, Ishbosheth is killed, and that's when David takes over. The question is, if Ishbosheth was only king for 2 years, and David was king for 7.5 years over just Hebron, what happened to the other 5.5 years? Who is the king over the rest of Klal Yisrael those 5.5 years? And the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Chof and Aleph discusses it. The Gemara mentions that we'll see later Avner was killed, and one reason is he was held guilty for delaying Malchus Beis David. Because of him, David did not become the king overall of Klal Yisrael. It was pushed off the 2.5. The Gemara says the two and a half years, and therefore Avner was punished. And the question is that it's really 7.5 years. It says here Ishbosheth was the king for 2 years, and there were 7.5 years that David was king in Hebron, meaning there were 5.5 missing years. So Rashi over there says that there were 5 years before Ishbosheth became the king. In other words, David was king in Hebron, and for years nothing was happening. Nothing was happening in the rest of Klal Yisrael for 5.5 years. And then they made Ishbosheth the king. Tosfos has questions on that, and Tosfos learns that no, that Ishbosheth became the king immediately, and he was killed, we'll see, and then after that was 5 years until the rest of Klal Yisrael accepted David. Even though we'll see in the Psukim, the people came to David and they said, we wanted you to be king they make it sound like they were with him from the very beginning, but yet there was a 5-year lapse. The Ralbag mentions, possibly you could say as a doichik, that he was two years the king in the middle, and there were a few years before and a few years after, but that's a doichik. In other words, the question is, why should there be a time lapse before and after Ishbosheth's Malchus? Another approach is Ishbosheth was 40 years old when he became king. For 2 years he ruled, and then the following incident happened. Meaning, really, could be he ended up being a king, some of Forsha mentioned. He could be he was a king for all 7.5 years that David was in Hebron. Ishbosheth was a king over his area. but it was only 2 years of a malchus before the following incident happens. We'll see there was an incident where there was a skirmish, a duel between the men of Ishbosheth and the men of David. This incident happened after he was king for 2 years. And the last possibility is he was king for 2 years because of Avner. Avner backed him and was a strong malchus. And we'll see later Avner defected and he left Ishbosheth. And then Ishbosheth, it could be the malchus went on, but it already had, it didn't have the power and it didn't have the vitality. It was only a really strong malchus for 2 years. So Ishbosheth was the king for 2 years. The Beis Yehuda was with David. And David was the king in Hebron for 7.5 years. Vayetze Avner ben Ner. Avner ben Ner went out for Avde Ishbosheth ben Shol and the servants of Ishbosheth the son of Shol, Mimachanayim Givona. They went out from Machanayim, which is where they had initially made, he had started making Ishbosheth the king in Machanoyim. Avner went out from there, Givon, and he went to Givon. Beyov ben Tzruya, Givon was a place in Binyamin, but it wasn't far from the border. It wasn't far from Yehuda. Beyov ben Tzruya, Yoav ben Tzruya, Va'avdei David and the servants of David Yotsu, they went out, they left the territory of Yehuda. They're sort of going into Binyamin, they're going into enemy territory. They're going into Ishbosheth's Malchus. Vayif Geshum, and they encountered Avner and his men, El Brechas Givon, by a pool of Givon Yachtov. They were all together by this pool. Vayeshvu Elal Abrecham Izeh, these men were on this side of the pool. The Elal Abrecham Izeh, and the other men were on the other side of the pool. Yoav had his men, and Avner had his men, and they all met at this place. Yoav ben Tzruya was one of the leading Chachmei Yisrael, and he had a tremendous conviction. He knew that David was going to be the king, and he saw it as his duty to do everything to strengthen Malchus Beis David. What we're going to see, though, we'll see throughout Shmuel Beis, is a lot of things Yoav did. Now, he did it because he was convinced that David was right, David should be the king. But a lot of things he did without the permission from David, and he did it against David's will. As we had the agitating to kill Shaul and things like that. In other words, Yoav was a takif, he was a powerful leader, and he was one of the Chachmei Yisrael, and he took a role protecting the Malchus Beis David, even when David would not have wanted him to do what he did. So Yoav ben Tzruya and the servants of David are by the well. Avner, Vayomer Avner el Yoav. Avner said to Yoav, Yakumu na'an Arim, let the Na'arim get up. Visachaku lefaneinu. Visachaku seems to me like let them play before us. And we'll see it actually turned into a battle. It was more like let them duel. Let them, now, it doesn't say what they discussed. It's very possible there was a lengthy discussion. Avner was one of the great Chachamim. Yoav was one of the great Chachamim. Avner had his drushes, and Yoav, I'm sure, had his drushes. And they were arguing exactly who should be the king over Klal Yisrael. And Avner felt, you know, instead of this, there was no way of really resolving who's right. It seems Avner did not intend there to be any bloodshed. But let Yakumanon Arm Visachaku, let the Arm get up, and let's have a war game. Let them duel, let them fight it out, and we'll see who wins. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it, sort of b'derech hateven, in a normal manner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show who should have the upper hand and who should have the malchus. Take a small group of men, instead of being a major battle, let them fight it out, and we'll let that be a way of deciding. We had a similar concept in Shmuel Aleph that Mephoshim talked about, you know, the whole idea with the duel. You know, and it even says even the Goyim, that was the whole idea when they used to have the duel. The idea was the two people would go and they would fight and they'd shoot each other. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide who's the right one. Of course, that's only to be done by Chachma, you know, that's by... It doesn't mean the special Ashkocha is going to protect you know, every common person. But this was the feeling of Avner. Avner said to Yoav, "Let the Norim get up, Yisachaku l'faneinu, and let them play, let them fight before us." Vayomer Yoav Yakumu. So Yoav said, "Okay, let them get up and fight." When Avner said the word Yakumu, it's written with a vav. Yakumu, to get up with a full impact and with a full, you know, it was his idea. He had his full backing. Let the Norim get up and fight. Yoav said Yakumu, it's written without a vav. And Vayakumu, and when the Norim got up, it's also without a vav. They agreed to Avner's idea, but it wasn't their idea. They went along with it. I don't know if they held it was a good idea or not, but they weren't going to be the chickens. They weren't going to back down. Avner felt this was the fair way of doing it. So they agreed. They agreed to have this fight. Yoav ben Tzruya, by the way, was a nephew of David. Tzruya, David had two sisters. One sister was Avigail. He had a wife, Avigail, and he had a sister, Avigail. But there was a sister, Avigail, and there was a sister, Tzruya. And Yoav is the son of Tzruya. The Mefarshim mentioned that Tzruya was his mother. Could be either his father was not as prominent, so his father wasn't mentioned. Could be his father had already passed away, and therefore he was known as his mother's son. Or could be the very fact that Tzruya was the king's sister. She was David's sister. So he's known as Ben Tzruya because this is his relation to David. We actually had before Avner ben Ner also was a cousin of Shaul. So, because his father Ner was the brother of Shaul's father Kish. But anyway, so Shaul's general, who later on made Ishbosheth the king, was actually, his general was a cousin, and David's general was a nephew. So Vayakumu, they got up, Vayavru b'mispor, and they passed over by number. Shneim also the Binyamin. There were 12 men who went from Shevet Binyamin. Uli Ishbosheth ben Shaul, and for Ishbosheth the son of Shaul. Ushneim also me Avdei David. And there were 12 men who went from the servants of David. The number 12 is representative. There was like one person for each Shevet. The question is, who should be the king over Klal Yisrael? Is it supposed to be David? Is it supposed to be Ishbosheth? Every side chose 12 men, as if each one is representing a Shevet. And let's see whoever's victorious. It's like he's representing Klal Yisrael, which is a concept we had when Klal Yisrael crossed over the Yarden. It says there were 12 men who represented the people, and there were other points in history where the number 12 was there to represent the people. When the Eretz Yisrael was divided, each Shevet had one person representing them. When Klal Yisrael brought Karbonis, there was always a group of from Yisrael there to represent them by the Karbon. So this was with a Kavana that whoever would win would represent Klal Yisrael. And this was a mistake of Avner. We'll see later on, Avner was killed. And the Medrash Tanchuma says at the end of Maaseh, at the end of Parshas Maaseh, because Avner referred to it as let the Na'arim get up, Yisachaku, and play before us, even though it could be his intention was not that anyone should be killed. But it's a dangerous activity. And to use the word like it's a play and it's like a... it's nothing serious. It's a joke. It's a game. It's a psych. Visachaku lefaneinu, to refer to the something activity, and that led to blood being spilled. As a result, Avner himself, we'll see, was killed. But Avner believed that they would win, because Avner had a drasha melachim mechalotzecha yetzeyu. Kings would come out from Binyamin, so he knew that he was right. Yoav ben Tzruya knew that he was right because Shmuel had anointed David to be king. So each one had their reason to believe that Hashem would show them to be the correct king. Vayachaziku ish brosh reyeyu. Everyone seized the head of the other person. or does it start off as a wrestle? They were wrestling. They grabbed each other's head. But they had their weapons. And they pulled out their sword, and they stabbed in the side of their colleague. Vayiplu yachdav, and they fell together. Or they were killed. They were grappling, and then the swords came out, and they fell. Vayikra l'mokom ahu, they called that place Chelkas HaTzurim, the place of the Tzurim. Tzurim means, can mean like you sharpen a sword. Rashi brings down Aftoshiv Tzur Charbo, to turn back the sharp blade of the sword. Chelkas HaTzurim, the place of the sharp swords, Asher B'Givon, that was in Givon. Others learn that Tzurim could mean like Tzur is a rock. It could be it was a rocky place. It could be that means that there were Giboyrim, there were mighty men here that were strong like the rock. The Targum says, Chelkas HaTzurim, the place where the people were killed. The Achasonas Kitilayo, the place, the Chelkas HaTzurim Asher B'Givon, that was in Givon. But he amilchoma kosha admaod. The battle was a very difficult battle by Yomahu on that day. It was difficult because it started off with 12 against 12. But we'll see the battle spread because I guess it was sort of a stalemate. It seems everyone was killed. They fell together in combat. And the battle was a difficult battle because the most difficult battles are the ones where everyone feels they have the moral justice is on their side. And each one felt that they were the right ones, and this was a milchama, that this is what Hashem would want, and the milchama became a very difficult battle by Yom Ahu on that day. Vayinogef Avner v'anshe Yisrael. Avner and the men of Klal Yisrael were struck down lifnei Avdei David, before the servants of David. It started out that Avner felt, let them get up Bisachaku lefaneinu, and they'll skirmish, they'll duel, and that would decide who should be the king. But it seems that it didn't stop there. They were killed, and the battle extended and became a war. And Avner and the Anshei Yisrael were defeated lifnei Avdei David, before the men of David. It mentions Avner, it doesn't say the Avdei Ishbosheth. It says Anshei Yisrael, like the men of Yisrael, they were sort of independent. There was Avner and there was the Jewish, the Ish, the Anshei Yisrael. They were independent. They didn't feel the subservience to Ishbosheth. They're the ones who made Ishbosheth the king. While David's men felt that David was their leader, they were the Avdei David, they were the servants of David. Vayiusham, and there was over there Shlosha b'nei Tzruya. There were three sons of Tzruya. Yoav, who we just learned about, Vavishai, Vasoil, and Avishai and Asoil. These were three brothers, Yoav, Avishai, and Asoil. And the fact that they're mentioned as Shlosha b'nei Tzruya, they operated together, they were ba'achdus. Well, see, each one of them was great, but they were together. Vasoil Kalbaraglov. Asoil was very light-footed. He was very swift. Like one of the deer in the field. Chazal learned out that when he had to get someplace, he didn't go riding on a horse or on a camel. He would run. And he would catch deer on foot. As he'd run after the deer on foot, and he would catch the deer. Chazal bring down, in fact, there would be standing grain. And he would run on the grain. But he was so quick, he didn't sink down, or is he like hit the grain, and that gave him, I guess, enough bounce, whatever, that he was able to get to the next stalk, and he was running on the standing grain without sinking down. So he was very quick. It says in Koheles, Lola Kalim Hameirots, not do the light footed always win the race. And Chazal bring down this example of Asoel. Asoel is very quick. And we'll see he's confident that the fact he's so quick, he'll be safe. By Yirdof Asoel Acharei Avner, Asoel pursued after Avner. He didn't turn to go to the side, Al Hayamin Vala Smol, not to the right or the left, Miachare Avner, from going after Avner. As Avner and his men were defeated, Asoel is chasing Avner. He's confident he'll catch Avner, he'll be able to kill him and run away. Now he'll be safe because he's so quick. Velo lakalim hamerot, but not as at those that are fleet-footed, and those that are quick don't win the race. Over here, our soil was done in by the fact that he felt he had the speed. And we'll see later on that he ends up being killed by Avner. But Asael chased after Avner. It was done with intention. He didn't turn anywhere. In other words, he knew exactly what he was focusing on. And we'll see he had the din of the classical Rodef. He was chasing, in the literally, he was Rodef, he was chasing after Avner. And it will be permitted for Avner to do anything necessary to save his life. And that's what's going to cause Asael to be killed. Could be Asael thought that if he would just kill Avner, just in other words, even though the battle was over, why didn't he just give up? But if he would kill Avner, that would finally settle all the machloikis, and everyone would accept David as king. David HaMelech was anointed as the king by Shmuel, and here Shaul was the king for, of course, first. And then, now that Shaul was killed, Avner made Ishbosheth the king. Right, Avner is the one that's holding back Malchus Beis David, which we learned the Gemara in Sanhedrin had mentioned. That was the onesh, one of the reasons why Avner ended up being killed, because he was delaying Malchus Beis David. So Asael knew that if he would just get rid of Avner, everything, the Malchus would be by David. So Asael is chasing after Avner. And he doesn't turn anyway. He's going straight after Avner. And Amir Tzashem will see next week how Avner responds and what ends up happening. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.